Chapter 26. Before Ron had known Robin, and before he had known Zoe, he'd been with Julie. She had long, straight, dark hair. She loved Marjorie. They had a bond. When Ron left her, Marjorie had cried. But then she had written over the years and learned that Julie won an award for being a reporter in Texas. She'd gotten a promotion to a station in Windsor, Canada, that broadcast into Detroit. Marjorie wrote, "Ronald is making a terrible mistake, and I think that you are the only one that can save him. I know that he loves you, and you know that he never wanted anything but what was best for the both of you. I want you to come here. I've always wanted to embrace you, like my daughter." When Julie got the message, she stared at it for a long time. Did Marjorie know that she had a daughter now? What was she asking her to do? She looked over at her sleeping child and felt a pang. She had dreamed more than once that it was Ron's child, but she knew that it wasn't. In the final analysis, he just hadn't wanted her. Maybe he would now. Maybe the years and the experiences had changed him. Maybe he was ready. If he was, she was too. She felt a fire inside of her when she thought about him. He was unabashed. She felt that tingle between her legs and cursed her pussy. Except that her vagina had produced her daughter. It wasn't all bad. And if he saw her daughter and met her, he would be captivated. That was how he was, and she knew it. But why was Marjorie so insistent that this was a mistake? It could only be another woman who was not Robin. Marjorie wouldn't have written if it was Robin. She'd sent her into battle before and hugged her after she was bruised and cut from previous skirmishes. Most of all, Marjorie knew that Julie couldn't win. She wouldn't do that to her again. She picked up the phone and dialed Marjorie's number. "Marge, it's Julie. I'm so glad that you called." "What's wrong?" "He wants to get married." "To who?" "Some Italian girl he hardly knows." "Why?" "I think he feels like time is passing him by, and he wants to start a real life." "I think that we all get that way sometimes," said Julie. "Do you still love him?" "Yes. After all this time and everything that he's done?" "I know I sound stupid, Marjorie, but yes." "Then you better get out here." "How can I do that? I have no reason." "It's going to be George's birthday, and you're invited." "This is the last time I'm going to do anything like this," said Julie. "It should be," said Marjorie. It was easy for Julie to schedule her flight. Her dad was a pilot, and she had a card that allowed her to fly for the price of the tax. Newark Airport was a hub. She thought about how she met Ron and the roller coaster that had been their relationship. She had been taking a summer course at the local community college when they met. By the time the fall began, they were an item and spent each weekend together. One weekend he would drive up to her college and spend the nights in her dorm room, and the other she would drive to his house and stay in his room. That was when she grew close with Marjorie. They played with each other's hair. They shared secrets. Marjorie told Ron that as long as he was on the couch when she woke up in the morning, that she wouldn't give him a hard time. She stopped walking into Ron's room without knocking on the door. He introduced Julie to Chris and Laureen, and the four of them went places together. She gave him a guitar, and he played it horribly. She smiled and grimaced at the same time, thinking about the way he abused that poor guitar. Then she remembered the feel of his hands and the incredibly long eyelashes that he had. She pictured the broadness of his shoulders and smiled. Warren Lashley had been the death of them. Maybe that was unfair, but she had grown to hate Warren and his interrogations. She hated the way that Ron looked up to him, and yet Lashley's words and ideas became his guiding principles. Then she met Jeff. He went to her school, and she began sleeping with him during the week. He knew about Ron, but didn't care. He managed the radio station, and there were plenty of girls that he could have. If she wanted her shift to be regular, she knew what was expected. She brought Ron to the radio station, and instantly the two young men took a dislike to each other. Ron had gone with her into Manhattan when she was getting her third-class broadcaster's license. He quizzed her on the train ride and then decided to take the test as well. It amazed her that he had passed, and she let him talk on the air during her show. Then they drifted. Every weekend became every other weekend, and then it was one weekend a month, and then he was gone. It had been tearful, but she was relieved. She felt it was coming. Years later, he came to see her while she was doing news updates on the AM dial. She was lonely, and he felt so good. He was working in a jail, trying to teach kids to read and write, and she had just been named Woman Broadcaster of the Year for a 10-part series that she'd done on women in Texas. When he left, she cried and decided that their timing was just so bad it wasn't going to work. Now they were in their 30s, and she knew that she looked good. It was time. She had a failed marriage and a daughter, and he had been ripped apart by a relationship with a woman who enjoyed watching him suffer. She could see where that could become addictive.